Revelation chapter 6. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. And when I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come," I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. He was given a crown, and he rode out to conquer, bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth, to make men slay each other. Him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. And there before me, its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages. But do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and hell was following close behind him. They were given power over a quarter of the earth to kill by the sword and famine and plague and by the wild beasts of the earth. We've been talking these last number of weeks about Pentecost, about when God comes. I want to talk today about when God leaves. Because you see, God is never static. Either we are drawing closer to Him, or He is withdrawing from us. And Revelation describes that greatest of all times when God will withdraw Himself from the earth. Revelation describes the time when God's beneficial. Now, remember, we talk about God coming or going. It's not that God isn't anywhere. The Bible is absolutely clear. God is everywhere. If I go up into heaven, God's there. If I go to the far corners of the earth, God is there. If I even descend into hell, God is there. God's omnipresent. But when we talk about God's presence withdrawing, we talk about God's beneficial, God's helpful, enlivening, blessing presence. And Revelation describes that ultimate time when God ultimately withdraws all of His blessing and His manifest power to bless from the earth. But Revelation is not the only time God does this. The Word of God describes many times when God has withdrawn His manifest presence, His blessing, His protection from a group of people. We have that again and again in the Old Testament with Israel. Ezekiel describes throughout Ezekiel, throughout the book, God withdrawing step by step by step by step, by step, away from His people. And today I want us to see what is the result of that. Because Many of us here are parents. Some of us are even grandparents. We are leaving to our children a mess physically in this country. Someone talks about, if you've been watching the news at all, this huge thing about the debt limit and that we're reaching the place where the U.S. can't borrow anymore unless they pass a law at $14 trillion. But that isn't the problem. The problem is we have another $75 trillion in commitments that we've made to people. $75 trillion. That's 75,000 million dollars. 75,000 billion with a B dollars that we've made in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security that we have no money to pay. But my concern is not that we are leaving our children, these little ones who are here, just a physical hole to dig out of, but we are leaving a spiritual hole that is growing deeper by the day. And I want to show you the marks that show that that is true. In Revelation 6, 1 to 8 described four conditions that happen when God's Spirit pulls back from a people. And I want you to understand how those conditions are increasing in our lives and nation. And unless we get serious about seeking God. You know, sometimes we pray as though things are not serious. You know, if tomorrow your child were to develop some almost incurable disease and the doctor said there's a 5% chance that they'll make it, how quickly would you be out to prayer? But I want to show you that our situation is far more grievous than that. Because the only thing that a disease can do to someone is kill their body. We're talking about eternal death. Let's look at these four conditions. First of all, Revelation 6, 1 and 2, he says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals, and then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come, and I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out to conquer, bent on conquest. The first fruit of God withdrawing from a people or a nation or a society, or ultimately the whole earth, is that it allows Satan free reign spiritually. And that means several things. First of all, it means deception. We live in a day when deception is rife. There has probably never been in the history of the church in America such widespread deception as there is today. Just think about how many people got caught up in this lunacy with this clown on the radio. Did the fact that for the, what, fourth time he was wrong change their minds? No, no. He's back at it again. Satan is empowered. That's why 2 Thessalonians says that the coming of the lawless one. And remember, although Revelation describes the ultimate Antichrist, remember John tells us in 1 John there are many Antichrists. This is just a global realization of what is up to that point a local phenomenon. But notice 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this reason God sends them a powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie. Think about the lies that are believed today. Think about the lie of evolution. Mathematicians are saying it doesn't work. The probability isn't there. Life couldn't have happened spontaneously. I have just been so blown away by Ben Stein's view, this top evolutionary scientist. And he goes, so how did life actually begin? Well, there were all these amino acids. Okay, there were amino acids. But how did it go from having amino acids to life? Because there's a quantum jump there. He goes, well, they were on crystals. Ben Stein is not a Christian. He is a theistic Jew. That means he's a Jew that is more than just a cultural Jew. He believes the Old Testament, and he practices some form of Judaism. But he stared at the guy and he goes, okay, and? The guy goes, I just explained it to you. There were crystals. Is that stupid? I mean, stupid beyond the realm of stupid. But he believes it. And so do multitudes. How about the lie? Some of you are my age. Now, has there always been immorality? Oh, yeah. But there used to be a day when it was not flagrant. The lie that you can do whatever you want and it has no consequences? See, here's what happens when God isn't present. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Here's the description of a people who have lost their connection to Christ. It says of them, they are always learning. You know, there is so much opportunity to learn today, isn't there? I remember when I was a kid, if you wanted to learn something up in the little town where I grew up, my parents had invested when I was a kid in a set of the World Almanac, a set of encyclopedias. By the time I was in college, they were 20 years old and totally out of date. And I'd go to the library and there were some books older than that. You had to go to the college library to get something. Today, you just sit down in your own home and click a few buttons, and now they have these what is it, Kindle? These little pads. Remember Star Trek? They'd have the pads they'd be reading on. 400 years from now? And they have so much memory that they can hold something like 1,000 books? And every magazine published for the last 3 years? And learning! 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 But never able to acknowledge the truth. In all that learning, the truth doesn't get through. And we see this in every level of our society. We see it in politics. Do you ever just look at these clowns and go, do you have a clue? It's in the media. It's in the school system, and I know I'm in it. It's in homes. See, when God withdraws, there may be knowledge, but there's no enlightenment. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you are in me, you will not stumble in the darkness. And second of all, look at Revelation again. Look at what else it says. Not only is there deception, this white horse, this antichrist that appears to be Christ. People can't tell the difference between what is truly righteous and what is just outlandish counterfeit. This white horse, this antichrist, deception is rife. But second of all, he rode out to conquer, bent on conquest. Second of all, when God withdraws, there's tyranny. You know, only the presence of God brings freedom. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, a church that thought they were free, that thought they had found the answer. Paul writes to them in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians. Did I misspeak? 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I want you to think about where your children will live if something doesn't change. The kind of tyranny that is growing. The kind of thing where somebody says, I know what's best for you. I'm going to run your life. I'm going to make your decision. Has there ever been a greater threat to freedom in this country than we face right now? And you know, the opposite is true around the world. Did you see in Africa where God is moving in a mighty way? Now, is Africa in a worse situation than we are? Yes. Are there multitudes of people in Africa that would trade places with us today? Yes. But their trajectory is going like this, and ours is going like this. And how long is it before they pass in the middle? Did you see that the Sudan, Southern Sudan, has declared its independence and has won its independence and now has freedom? And the news media talked about the racial component. Well, it's mostly black Africa versus the Arab North. But it's not about skin color. It's about Christian South Sudan, where the gospel has been triumphing in people's hearts, versus Muslim Northern Sudan. For years they've been oppressed, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And now they're winning their freedom at the exact same time that we're handing ours away. You see, tyranny comes in when Christ leaves. And I don't care if it's Pharaoh. Do you remember what the Bible says? There rose up another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph or Joseph's God by extension. And what did he do? He began to oppress the people. And oppression comes in when the Spirit of God departs. And we're suffering with that today. And then, second of all, not only is there this deception of the Antichrist that brings about an inability to see truth, it brings about tyranny in people's lives, but second of all, Revelation says, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And then another horse came. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. We can't find a person so obviously guilty today because we've adopted this idea that we can't judge anybody. We have, I don't even know how to describe this, a person like that, who kills their child because they want to go out partying. And I don't know if she meant to kill her child or not. Only she knows that. But it is patently obvious that she killed that child. And we have 12 so-called human beings that are so blinded by deception that they go, "Well, you know, you can't judge people. You just don't know." And now we have to pass a law. Can you imagine this? We have to have a law on the books that says, If a young child goes missing, the parents are legally responsible to report that to the authorities so they can look for the child. If a child, a three-year-old child, has been gone for 48 hours, you've got to go to the police and say, "Oh yeah, my child's disappeared." Now, I think it's a great law, but I think that the fact we have to have that law shows how stupid we've become as a society. I remember when my kids were little, if I couldn't see them for 5 minutes, I was frantic. The fact that we have to have a law to tell a parent, what does that say about the human heart? Because you see, when God withdraws, peace disappears. You can't trust parents not to kill their own children. Children to attack their parents. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Paul, writing to explain the gospel, says this. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is no peace with God without Jesus Christ. Oh, you can get spiritual, but there's no peace with God. Well, God's my buddy. We're just like this. No, there is no peace with God except through Christ. And when Christ withdraws, there's no peace with God. The psalmist describes it this way, Psalm 2. Why do the nations, the heathen, rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth and the leaders set themselves together against God, saying, we will break his bonds, his fetters. We will cast off his laws. Think about the laws of God that have been cast off in this nation. Without any thought to the consequences. But here's the good news. It's brought peace, right? There's peace in our streets, isn't there? Why, you can walk into any park in America at 2 in the morning and feel perfectly safe. I was talking with my wife, sometime this week. And she was talking about this neighbor that used to live near one of her relatives. And they woke up one morning, he was sitting in their kitchen eating bacon and eggs or something at the table. I said, well, why didn't they lock the door? She said, well, they didn't have keys to their doors. They couldn't lock them. Some of you remember days like that. Anybody leave their door open at night now? Tommy doesn't have a key. I remember my mom, she used to want to make sure that no one stole the car. So she'd take the keys out of the key thing and throw it on the seat so the person would look in and not see the key in the switch and wouldn't steal it. That's how I know where my keys are. Think about the lack of peace. Metal detectors in the schools. When we were kids, some of you my age, Bob, what would your parents have said if they said that we want to pass a law about metal detectors in the schools? Yeah, they did. They were called wooden stakes. You just went around them. Magnetometers, they called them back when you were a kid. They had them in World War II. Not in the Civil War, but World War II. A 100,000 children a day, they claim, take a gun to school in the United States. And yet they arrest a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout, several years ago, who was going on a Boy Scout campout, so he put all his equipment in his trunk and locked it safely in his trunk. He was leaving right from school, an Eagle Scout, and in it was his hatchet. And they arrested him. You see, if there's no peace with God, there's no peace within. John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33 says, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And look at what he says. John 16, 33. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. If there's no peace with God, there's no peace within. And if there's no peace within, there is no peace between people. That's why Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, says, I urge you then, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. He knew that when God lifts his hands from a nation, there's no peace. For a while, they were giving us how many people were killed in Iraq every day. Since the numbers have gone down and it's not so sensational, they've stopped doing that. But for a while on the news every night, and from some of you who are older and remember the Vietnam War, they did the same thing. They'd come on, you know, killed in Vietnam. But what would we say if every night they came on and said, this is how many people were killed in the five largest cities in America today? What was it in Philadelphia? One day last week, there were seven people shot, eight people shot in one day. And this with all the gun control laws. And then third of all, Revelation says not only will there be this mass deception, this openness to every kind of spiritually killing influence, but he says, second of all, there'll be peace taken. And then third of all, he says in verse 5, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, three quarts of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine. Third of all, God allows nature to turn against humanity. Think about the ways that nature has turned against us in this nation. Who would have thought in the 21st century that one of our major cities could be almost blasted from the map? Kathy and I were talking this week, and I somehow this hadn't registered in my consciousness, but they just found a nurse guilty of murder. The case goes back a number of years ago when New Orleans was being destroyed, wiped out by Hurricane Katrina. They came in and they said, we have to evacuate the hospitals. And they didn't have enough transportation, and they didn't have, because they hadn't planned ahead, because nobody would ask for help, they didn't have any emergency. They waited till it was too late for helicopters to be sent in. The conditions were so bad that helicopters couldn't land. So literally they abandoned patients in the hospital. People who were critically ill, they said, everybody leave and just leave them there to die. And this nurse took some morphine and gave it to one of the patients so that instead of a lingering, long, horrible death as the power went out and their life support systems that were operating in the hospital failed, they would sit there with no one to aid them because everyone had been evacuated, but they were left alone in that hospital to die. She gave him morphine and put him to sleep and allowed him to die. And they arrested her for murder. Can you imagine that in the 21st century, nature would turn against us such that we would have to evacuate one of our major cities so that we would leave people behind without help in the hospitals? This month, this year alone, normally in the month of April, there are 100 tornadoes in the entire United States. This year, there were over 800. But it's so mind-numbing. The scale of these things is so mind-numbing that we just go, okay, well, it's not hitting me. Right now, there's drought throughout the Midwest, right at the height. First, there was flooding. And have you seen the massive floods that have just wiped through the entire Midwest? Cities just underwater. Now, there's a drought. But we don't say, there's a cause. Look at Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Verse 7, Amos 4:7. I also, Amos 4:7, withheld the rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. Isn't that exactly what God's doing today? You say, well, it's not everywhere. No, it's not. Verse 8. Middle of verse 7, I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. On one field had rain, but another had none and dried up. God says, that's what happens when I withdraw. I've been reading a book that compiles sermons preached in the 1600s. And one of them is the report of the Presbyterians in New England because they had had unfavorable weather for 2 or 3 years in a row. They quickly concluded that God had set His face against them, and they set themselves to repent and return to God. And they drew up a proclamation declaring their sin, pointing out their sin and confessing it before God. And they charged all the preachers in the entire fellowship to cry aloud and to preach on these sins until people repented. But what do we do? You see, when God withdraws, there's deception. So we look at it and go, well, it's just Mother Nature. And then last of all, Revelation chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come!" And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword and famine and plague and by the wild beasts of the earth. Let's think about the plagues we've had. We try to ignore it. We wash it away. We put it behind sterile antiseptic, and we say, it's okay, it won't hit me. How about the plague of AIDS? God was so gracious. You know, God is so good. He doesn't want to destroy His people. He wants to bring us. Do you remember swine flu? God, in His graciousness, gave us this epidemic, but it was such a mild epidemic that very few died. But God showed us. Tomorrow we could have a flu that was virulent, that spread that quickly. But have we turned and said, yeah, God has shown us plagues? By wild beasts of the earth. Have you seen the reports? It's not really about the rise in feral animals. These feral pigs that have now begun to just overpopulate in almost every state of the United States. And we're not talking little farm pigs with their little pink tail. We're talking boars with tusks. Right here in New Jersey. Did you see the news about a week ago where they had to go out and they had to hunt down a pack of feral dogs that were attacking people and attacking animals and creating and then there's the grizzly bear that just killed someone. The response was, well, it's going to happen because, you know, people are encroaching. And but no one stops to ask, is it because we've turned away from Christ? You see, it's wondrous when we draw near to Him. But it's horrible when we draw away. When we're just too busy. When we're just too full of other things. Turn with me back to the book of Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos, chapter 8. And then last of all, It's not just. It's not just the physical things. When God withdraws, there is a spiritual condition that arises. It's a lack of conviction. It's a lack of the Holy Spirit poking us to show us our sin. And without the Holy Spirit poking us and showing us our sin, we just go on in it without caring. What was once unthinkable now becomes commonplace. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And you know, here's the bottom line. There's probably never been as much preaching in America as there is today. I remember the conversation that I heard that a missionary relayed to a group of pastors I was with about a man he was talking to on one of his trips from Africa. And these two men came up to him in Africa and they said to him, "Is it true that in America there's a whole hour a day of Christian radio where you can hear the Word of God in America?" And they kind of looked at him eagerly expecting an answer, and he said, "No, I'm sorry to tell you, that's not true." And the one African Christian looked at the other with kind of like this, "I told you so" look. He said, "The sad fact is, in most places in America, 24 hours a day you can listen to sermons. Probably you have your choice of two or three different stations with different sermons." And both of the Africans' jaws dropped and they stared at him. And the one said, "Wow, America must be heaven on earth." I'm not saying there's a famine of preaching, but there is a famine of hearing. First of all, most of what's preached today isn't the Word of the Lord. It may be from the Word of the Lord, or behind the Word of the Lord, or out of the Word of the Lord, but it's not God's Word to our people. But second of all, even where the Word of God's preached, there's a spirit of dullness, of a lack of hearing. People just don't hear it. They sit there and they go. I remember the fellow that led me to Christ. The reason he came to the church where I got saved was he was at another church and he'd been preaching there for a year. And he'd preached on the new birth. And no one in the church made a profession of faith. None of them claimed to be born again. He'd talk to them. They didn't want to be born again. They didn't think that was important. They just, "I'm a good Christian because I go to church." And they'd sit there in the pews week after week. And he preached his guts out. Every day on the day way out, they'd go, "Oh, great sermon, preacher. Oh, we'll be back next week." And finally, one Sunday, he got up and he said, I don't know what his text was, but he said, "Do you understand that you people, since none of you claim to be born again, are going to hell?" And he pointed right at people. He said, "You and you and you," and he gave their names. "You're going to hell. And you need to be saved.
people sat there with these smiles on their face going,
and he went to the back of the church when the sermon was over and the people filed out and said, oh, that was a great sermon, preacher. We'll be back next week. You ever feel like that? You talk to people again and again and again and again and they shake your hand and go, oh, that's wonderful. But they're not hearing a word of it. Famine of hearing the word of the Lord. You see, we have to understand that we are not in danger of God judging America at some theoretical point in the future. God is already judging America. We are already seeing the fruit of a society that's pulling away from God. Well, does that mean it can't get worse? No, of course not. It can get worse. And it is every day. And if something doesn't change, will it be worse in 5 years than it is today? Undoubtedly. But see, it happens so slowly. It's not that it goes from here to there in 1 hour. It happens so slowly that we just get used to it. We get accustomed to it. Just the way it is. If they would have put some of the TV shows on the television that are shown today in 1960 or 1955, what would have happened? Are there people that would have gone to jail for it? You bet there is. And these so-called Christian stations, the gospel music channel that's supposed to be about gospel music. That's what it was. The gospel music channel. It's now hip-hop and country music. And now they're putting on shows from the 70s and 80s and 90s that in those days were considered utterly ungodly. Let's show them. Today, on what used to be, what was the name of that Christian channel before they changed it to the Family Channel? It was started by people who sent millions of dollars, $10 at a time. No, it was the other one with Pat Robertson. Well, that was his show, but they started the whole network and it was Christian shows. Maybe it was TBS. No, that's the one with Crouch. CBN, yeah. CBN. Today they have a marathon of Harry Potter movies. Now, I don't know where you stand on Harry Potter movies, and I don't care, but do you think that thousands and thousands of people sent money, so-called for God, to support a ministry to show Harry Potter movies? We're going in the wrong direction. And here's what Paul says. We looked at the verse today. Let's look at it again. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. If the church doesn't really begin to pray, how much longer are we going to be able to live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness? Did you see the filibuster in New York? New York legislature in the last couple of weeks. They're now pushing for full homosexual marriage in New York. And they're counting it as a civil right. And therefore, they've written in a clause that says that religious organizations will not be responsible to abide by this. How long do you think that'll last? And a whole bunch of politicians cave because they said, well, we've got these exemptions to protect you religious folks. How long? How long? Who would have thought? Did you hear several years ago? Did you hear the call to 911 that was recorded? And because of the Freedom of Information Act, they had to release it. And it was played nationally on a number of Christian things. Where there was a church meeting in San Francisco, and they had a speaker who was a former homosexual who had come out of the lifestyle and was declaring that there was release for homosexuals. And the church was attacked violently. They were literally beating in the doors. You can hear it in the background. They were throwing rocks through the windows. And they called the police to come and put down the riot. And on the first phone call, the police says, yeah, we'll send somebody. A half hour went by and nobody came. They called back and the policeman said, listen, we've been told not to bother with you people. Stop clogging 911. If you call again, we'll have you arrested, and hung up on them. And let the riot go on. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't heard it with my own ears. That's what happens when God withdraws, when He pulls away. How bad is it going to have to get before we begin to take it seriously? Bow together. Lord, oh, it is a wondrous thing when you draw near. Lord, I had a discussion this week with someone, and they said goofy things, but one of the goofiest they said was that, well, you know, Pentecost wasn't that different from what we have today in America. Oh yeah, there were mistakes in that early church. There were shortcomings, but oh God, they were heading in the right direction. And yeah, it didn't last. It never does. Lord, you have no grandchildren. Just because we turn to you today doesn't mean our children will turn to you in the next generation. Just because those who have prayed and sought you in dark days and you show up doesn't mean that those who grow up in the days of your presence and take it for granted will continue to seek you. But oh God, it is wondrous when you come. But Lord, it is horrid when you leave. And all all the things we think we can have without you? Well, we can still have an economy. No, we can't. Well, we can still have prosperity. No, we can't. Well, we can still have freedom. No, we can't. Well, the truth's the truth. Anybody can see that. No, it isn't. Lord, if you're not there to illuminate, we'll believe the lie. Tyranny will just grow up around us. Peace will elude us. Nature will turn against us. Oh God, when you're gone, all these things occur. But most of all, when you're not present in your power and your manifest blessing, there's a famine of hearing the Word of God. Oh Lord, today, may we say, I'm not going to wait till it gets worse. I'm going to seek you today. Oh Lord, I don't know what you could do through the handful of us here today, but you could do a lot. If only we wholly belong to you. Lord, I pray that we would turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.